Hey friends, and welcome back to another episode of the Shoot Proof Podcast. We're so glad that you're here with us, and we're really excited about providing these podcasts as a resource for our favorite people in the world, photographers. Just a quick note, if you are listening to this podcast, we do have a video version that you can watch over at our blog. You can find that at blog.shootproof.com. And if you're watching this video and you want to have the latest episode as soon as it's available, you should subscribe to our podcast in iTunes. You can find it by searching for the Shoot Proof Podcast. Today we're joined by Erin Youngren. Erin and her husband Jeff are incredible photographers, and they have a wealth of knowledge when it comes to running businesses. Erin has a particular passion in helping photographers find their ideal client, and I can't wait to hear what she has to share with us. Hi, Erin.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for being here in Atlanta with us and taking the time to come in and share with our team and now share with our community. We really appreciate it.
So yeah, of course. Thank you so much for having me. I love it. It's so fun. We fly through Atlanta all the time, and I'm sure everybody says this, but it's so fun when we get to walk out of the airport and visit our friends in Atlanta. So it's always a good sign. So thank you for having me. I'm really privileged to be here.
Good. Okay. Well, we're stoked that you're here. The first thing I guess I want to find out is, could you tell me a little bit about like your journey into photography, how that started and kind of how that's evolved over the years and where you are today?
Definitely. So Jeff and I, my husband is Jeff, I'm Erin, and we photograph weddings. We've been photographing them ever since we got married 9 years ago. And we we have a kind of fun story. I married into it, but Jeff had been a photographer for quite a while as far as a hobby goes. He was getting a degree in biochemistry, and actually there's some folks that don't know that he has a degree in biochemistry. He's brilliant. And I have a degree in literature, and right around the time when he was applying to med schools, he discovered wedding photography and decided that that was his passion. So I picked up a camera very quickly after that, fell in love with it as well, and we started photographing weddings together. And it's been such a fun journey. We travel the world, we travel the US shooting weddings, and we absolutely love what we do. And then a couple years ago, we expanded into a couple different studios. So we have another studio that we call Clove and Kin. It's a really fun studio. It's Clove Like the Spice and Kin Like Family. That studio photographs weddings and portraits, and it has multiple photographers, and it's a really fun brand. And then we also own another studio called Bauman Photographers, and that studio photographs commercial work as well as weddings. Okay. So we get to be a part of a lot of different stuff, and we have a really cool staff in our studio. We have a team of amazing photographers, and it's a really, really fun journey. It's a lot. There's so many challenges and so many lessons, but I am so fulfilled in what we do. It's really great.
Awesome. Well, so you said that Jeff kind of picked up wedding photography and then you picked up a camera.
Yes.
So I'm assuming things didn't happen at exactly the same time. You guys weren't like, hey, let's start a photography business together. But it was kind of close in timing. Mm-hmm. So tell me how that like transition happened, you know, for you personally. Jeff was doing this, and then what happened?
Yes. So it happened pretty naturally, pretty organically, and it did happen relatively right away. But there was a period of time where I was learning photography. Jeff taught me everything he knew. And that was a period of 2 to 3 months where I just had to learn photography. And I've never learned so much in such a short amount of time.
Yeah.
But it's just amazing how I just fell in love with it so quickly and developed so quickly in the craft. And then we realized, you know what, we could do this together. But he still knew a lot more about photography than I did. On the flip side, I was a lot more organized than he was. So what we decided was that I would leave my job. We were both working in corporate jobs. I left my job first, and I organized the business and made sure we had a full calendar of weddings, booked the clients, worked with the clients. And a year later, Jeff was able to leave his job.
Okay.
And that was a really fun journey. But throughout that, we discovered that we work best when we separate our roles in our business. And we're very lucky in that we have very different strengths. And we realized that pretty early on, that when we work in those different strengths, we get along.
Yeah.
And our business does really well. So that meant that we figured out what systems we both work best in, and we closed those systems.
Mm.
So what I am responsible for, I am only responsible for it.
Okay.
And so I take care of an entire system, and Jeff doesn't have to do anything with it. Mm. Jeff, on the other hand, has his own systems, and I'm not responsible for anything in those systems. So we're not relying on each other. I'm not bugging him like, hey, when are you going to get this thing to me? And he's not bugging me about stuff. And so we found a lot of autonomy in that. Mm-hmm. And we also respect each other a lot because of it, because he does things that I don't know how he does them. He's so good at them.
Yeah.
And then I do things where he says, Aaron, like, you are so good at this system. It's something that I just cannot do. So we have a lot of respect for each other in that too. So that has developed a really healthy business relationship in our marriage. Mm. And I think that this is really valuable, even for those folks out there, because I know there's a lot of photographers that one of them works full-time in the business, and their spouse does work with them, but it's usually shooting with them on the weekends,
right,
or supporting them in maybe an administrative role, but they're not both doing it full-time. But even then, you can figure out where your strengths are. You can still close those systems. You can still have that support for each other. So I feel like it's still very applicable to couples that, even though you're not doing it full-time, you still have a certain role in the business. And what is that role?
Yeah.
So
to dig deeper into that, someone listening is like, okay, closed systems sounds like a good plan. And then they're thinking about all the things that they do on a day-to-day basis. And maybe they're working with their spouse, or they have another business partner of some sort that they're working with.
Yes.
And they're looking at their day-to-day work, and they're realizing, oh wow, we're touching the same thing in a lot of different ways. Mm-hmm. Can you give an example of how you were able to separate out those systems, or an example of like what a system would be that you closed off?
Definitely. So like I said, I was a literature major and I love writing. I'm very talented at writing and I really enjoy it. So I started writing for the blog. That was very natural for me, but I needed to have the photos for the blog as well. So we realized I should be the one that's actually editing the photos. I should be the one managing that process. Mm-hmm. But at the time, I knew nothing about post-production. I knew nothing about editing photos. I had never opened up Lightroom in my life. Yeah. And Jeff was the one that was responsible for that because he was the photographer initially.
Okay.
But we realized, okay, like, we need to close the system. And Jeff sat me down and taught me how to edit photos, and then said, okay, build a system. And I, from there, learned how to edit photos. I learned how to do post-production. Mm. And now, very quickly, I became in charge of all the operations in our businesses. And I've been in charge of it ever since, doing all the editing, all the post-production, all of that. It was not a natural fit in the beginning.
Yeah.
It was not my knee-jerk initially. But in order to close that system and build a healthy relationship and a healthy business, I had to figure out and learn those new skills in order to do that.
Gotcha.
So there might be areas where you might need to take on that might be a little foreign or might be a little unnatural, but they do fit into that system. And in the end, my strengths fit really well with post-production. I love systems. And I discovered that I love systems only because we worked on closing those roles and we discovered that new skill set for me.
Gotcha.
So,
okay. What advice would you give specifically for married couples who are working together?
Yes. Yeah, I think that communication is huge, and I know that everyone says that, but communication is big for a reason. And I think that for us, the best way to put it, and I was just at a conference and I was talking to some women about this who also work with their husbands, and we agreed that the best way to put it is that you need to figure out how to show your spouse, how to show your business partner, how you have their back.
Mm.
I have Jeff's back, and he knows that I have his back, and I know that he has mine. But there's times when we don't feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
But there's certain steps that I can take specific to Jeff when he tells me, when you do this, I feel loved, I feel supported, I feel like you have my back. And so when we were able to both of us individually figure out what that was for us, when I say, Jeff, when you do these certain things, when you when you fix my computer or when you do these different things for me, I feel like you have my back. And that helps me feel loved. And for him, you know, it's other things that I wouldn't know about unless he told me, this is how I feel like you support me in my business, in our marriage, and this is how I feel like you have my back. So it's different for every couple. It's a lot like love languages.
Yeah, I was just thinking that.
It's exactly like love languages. Mine is acts of service and quality time. For Jeff, it's physical touch and words of affirmation. And so that was a really useful tool for us to figure out how it is to how we love the other person, and how we ourselves need to be loved.
Gotcha.
So
do you mind, because maybe that concept is unfamiliar to people,
yes.
The concept of love languages. Mm-hmm. Can you just tease that out a bit? The book
Definitely. It's, if you haven't read it and you're in a relationship, it's a really wonderful book. And I like the concept a lot because it puts words to something that's hard to describe.
Yeah.
So there's five different love languages, and everyone tends to fall into one or two different love languages, and it's basically how you are loved the best. So mm-hmm. I feel the most loved when Jeff does little things for me. Just acts of service is what it's called, and I feel like he's serving me, like he's going out of his way to be there for me, and I feel really loved through that. On the flip side, that's how I feel. I receive love, and then there's also how I give love. So I most naturally give love through quality time, just by being around people. And it's not necessarily doing something wild and crazy, but just by sitting in a living room with somebody, sitting down to coffee with somebody. That to me is quality time, and that's how I give love.
Mm-hmm.
However, Jeff receives love very differently than me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to learn how to give him love the way that he needs to be, the way that he receives it. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
so you have to learn your partner's love languages and learn how to love them in that way, even though it's not natural for me. Jeff is most loved through physical touch. So me just coming up and rubbing him on the back a little bit or touching his arm, things that to me were not really natural because it doesn't matter that much to Jeff, it's a big deal. So when I learned how to do that, it helped our business and our marriage.
Yeah. I think that concept of trying to understand how another person receives love or communication or mm-hmm. really anything, you know, that can be incredibly valuable, not only in our working lives, but in our personal lives. Just understanding, you know, I might have a message that I want to convey to this person, but the way that I'm conveying it isn't getting the point across because they're looking for something that I'm not giving them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's really unique and valuable that you guys have taken the time to figure out those love languages and really, you know, how can we leverage this knowledge that we have now about each other to make our working relationship better and make mm-hmm. our business better. I really commend you guys for that. That's really cool.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
I want to shift gears a little bit because I know you do a lot of teaching. Mm-hmm. I know Jeff does some coaching. And you guys, from what I've read, from what I've heard, you spend a lot of time talking with people about kind of their ideal client, the, mm-hmm. the client that they're going for.
Yes.
And so I want to know, you know, what does that look like? What is an ideal client? And why is it important to know what this person is?
Yeah, I am really passionate about this because I believe that when you get to work with clients that you love, when you're a creative entrepreneur, I'm a creative entrepreneur, I'm a wedding photographer. And if you're a wedding photographer, portrait photographer, even a commercial photographer, you're a small business owner in a creative endeavor. And working with clients you love has a big impact on your business because I believe that when you're a creative entrepreneur, business and art become conjoined twins.
Mm.
And they go hand in hand. And they're almost impossible to separate. And you want to separate them sometimes. You want to say, no, my art is my art and my business is my business. But they are so intertwined that when you are fulfilled in your art, then you are able to do better in your business. There's more profit in your business. And when your business is doing well, you then thrive in your art. And I think that anyone who is a creative entrepreneur has probably experienced that. When you have freedom in your business, you then have more freedom in your art, and vice versa.
Hmm.
And so when you work with clients that are life-giving versus life-taking, then you are able to thrive more in your business because you don't feel overwhelmed by an email.
Mm-hmm.
You don't feel undervalued. You feel trust. You feel respect. And that frees you up in your art, and you do better work. And work that you're proud of. You build a portfolio that you love. And then you get more clients that love your work because you're producing really awesome stuff.
So
I feel like it has a really foundational impact on businesses. So what I do is I like to help small business owners discover who those ideal clients are. Because there's a lot of messages out there.
Mm.
And they can get really mixed up. They can get really crossed. And sometimes you believe that there are certain people that you should be working with,
mm-hmm.
you know, certain types, certain networks, and you don't end up working with the people you actually truly do love. And so what I do is I help you figure out who those people are, how to attract them to your business, how to market to them, how to market to them based on values versus just what clothes they wear, what cars they drive, what grocery stores they shop at, you know, which is all very surface information. But what we want to know is, how do I get at them in their value systems? And that's when you can start attracting people that you really love, you really connect with on a deeper level than just, you know, do you like my style, or, you know, do we wear the same clothes or not?
Right.
You know, which can be a very surface way to approach your business.
Yeah. I know there's so much that we could unpack here, and we just don't have enough time to do it.
I know. I love it.
But I do want to ask, you know, what you said something earlier, and I thought it was really interesting. You said finding clients that are life-giving.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit more about that? Like, what does it mean to have a client that's life-giving rather than life-taking?
Yeah. It's when you are a creative in a small business, and when you have clients that you feel fulfilled when you get to work with them, and if you've ever experienced that, it's just this remarkable experience, right? And I think that what we need to do is, when you figure out who those people are, then you need to take the next step and say yes to those people and say, I'm going to go after these folks. I'm going to go after the ones that trust me, the ones that respect me, the ones that appreciate the art that I create and that aren't using me to create something that they really want. Does that make sense? So you get to create what you want because they love it and they trust you and they appreciate you and you connect on a certain value system, versus feeling forced to produce something that maybe you don't love as much because that trust isn't there. I feel like I keep saying trust and I feel like that's a lot of what it comes down to. When I work with clients that I don't feel like they trust me, I have a lot of fear. I have a lot of insecurity that I'm not going to do a good job. I'm not going to be able to deliver what they want. And so I start getting really confined and I don't take risks. I don't challenge myself. And that's the work that's kind of mediocre.
Yeah.
It's just not very dynamic. There's nothing special about it. But when I do have that trust and I feel secure and I feel confident, then I can start taking risks and I can challenge myself and not be afraid. And I can say, I'm going to try this because I think this client would really love it. They just love my vision. What is my vision? And so you can produce work you're really proud of.
Yeah.
So there can be a lot of fear in the process, because saying yes to the right people means saying no to a whole lot of others. But I like to see it as an opportunity to say no to the wrong people and yes to the right people. Now, I'm not saying you should go out and say no to everybody, because they're not just ideal and perfect. Right. You need to pay the bills. That is a reality of owning a small business.
Right.
What I do want you to do is, I want you to start thinking about your ideal clients, your dream clients, the ones that you want to work with, and start going after them. And when you start building a brand message and start building a portfolio that's going to attract them, then you'll start getting more and more of them. And the goal is to up your percentage of ideal clients every single year. And eventually you'll get to the point where most of your clients are ideal. And then a few one or two off clients, they're not going to matter nearly as much, because you'll fulfilled with the rest of your clients.
Yeah. That's a really interesting idea, you know, that you can build this client base that kind of gets you and trusts you. I think trust was the word that you really honed in on there. How can you recognize, let's say we haven't done the work on the front end, right, to attract the right clients, and now we're just kind of talking to everybody, you know, that's coming through the door. What are some warning signs maybe that you're meeting with somebody who doesn't really connect with you on a value level, or doesn't that may not end up trusting you the way that you need them to trust you?
That's, you need to figure out what the red flags are for you, because it's different for everybody. Okay. The red flags for Jeff and I are very, very different than the red flags for other folks, because we're working with completely different clients. My dream clients are not your dream clients, and your dream clients are not mine. And so what might be a red flag to me might be awesome, to you.
Right.
And so I can send those clients over to you and you'll love them. But what you can do in help in figuring out who your ideal clients are is there's an exercise that I really like and I think is really helpful as kind of that first step. Mm-hmm. So think about the clients you have and your favorite clients and try to think of 5 to 7 of your favorite clients that you've gotten to work with and write them down. If you don't have 5 to 7 favorite clients, maybe you're just starting out or you've just been working with folks that you just really don't enjoy and you can't think of enough, then think about friends and family that you, if you got the chance to work with them, you would just be so excited. You'd be stoked. Write those guys down and then I want you to write down some different characteristics next to their name. So we have a friend who's an audio engineer, and he was on tour with concerts and that sort of thing. And his mentor gave him this exercise. It was really helpful for him because he's a freelancer just like we are. Mm-hmm. And his mentor said, when you think about taking the next job, think about these 3 qualities. 1, will the next job be with good people? 2, will that job challenge you creatively? Will you become better at your craft? Mm-hmm. And 3, will it be good money? Like, is it going to be worth your time?
Right.
And if it has 2 out of 3 of those qualities, then it'll be a good job to take.
Wow.
If it only has 1 of those, probably not a good job. If you're only doing it for the money,
yeah.
Which how many of us have done that?
Yeah.
I am so guilty of that.
Yes, me too.
Or if you're only doing it for the people, oh, you guys are really nice. I'll do whatever. But nothing else fits.
Right.
Like, we've all done that before. But if it has 2 out of 3 of those qualities, it'll be a good job to take. If it has all 3, then it's the perfect job, right?
Yeah.
So I've kind of revamped that for this exercise. And what I want you to do is I want you to think about those 5 to 7 clients. And I want you to write down P, if they were profitable. And that just means they paid you your asking price. Mm-hmm. Not, did they pay me gobs and gobs of money or my biggest package ever? Just they paid you without questions
right.
And they just paid you asking price. The second letter is R, and that's for referrals. So were they a good referrer for you? Did they talk about you? Or if they didn't talk about you, are they part of a network that you want to be a part of? You want to shoot more of those folks. Mm-hmm. And the third letter is C, and that's just for connection. Did you connect with them personally? Did you connect with them artistically? If it was a wedding, did you love the venue you got to shoot at? Did you love the vendors you got to work with?
Right.
And when you're able to study your favorite clients and kind of map them out that way and see which ones were truly ideal, which ones really were good for your business,
mm-hmm.
then it's a lot more helpful for you to see them that way and study them a little bit.
Yeah.
So that's a good first step because those are the ones you want to pay attention to.
Yeah.
Those are the top 10%. You know, study those, pay attention to those, figure out their habits, what they value, what they love. There's a lot more that goes into the process.
Yes, I'm sure. Yeah.
But that is a great place to start.
Yeah.
And you can at least begin to identify and get a picture of who your favorite clients are.
Wow, that's such a helpful, you know, very practical way of going about it. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I love, and it seems like that's kind of your approach in everything that you do is to find like, how do I break this apart and go step by step? The first thing I'm going to do is this and then have a process.
I am one of those systems people.
Yes.
that's how my brain works.
Yeah.
So I'm always looking for a way to break things down into chunks.
Yeah.
That I can approach.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, that's awesome. So my last question for you is, and we're shifting gears a little bit.
Okay.
So, but I want to know what matters most to Erin Youngren?
Oh, gosh.
And the follow-up question on that would be,
okay.
How do you stay focused on that thing?
That's a great question. Gosh, what matters most to Erin Youngren? I think I'm a podcast junkie. So whenever I get to be on a podcast, I am so excited because I could just listen to podcasts all the time. They're like candy for me.
Yeah.
So I've been listening to a lot of creative podcasts lately. And what has been hitting me most, probably over the past year, is just at the end of my life, I just want to be able to turn around and say, I did some important work. And I created some important work. And I think that I don't know what that important work is yet.
Mm-hmm.
I think part of it is what I'm doing now. I get to impact some really, really cool people in some really cool ways because I get to walk with them during their wedding day. And I get to help them remember the day they got married, not just in photographs, but by stopping them on the wedding day and saying, look at your friends and family that are around you right now. And listen to the celebration and take it all in. And they remember so much more because I got to be there and stop them.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of my important work, but I know that I have more important work to do. And it's easy to forget the important work and just start working on the most pressing work. The stuff that's just tugging you and the stuff that's putting out fires. You know, the most urgent work is, is I think how I've heard some people put it, like there's urgent work and there's important work. It's
Stephen Covey's matrix of importance
and urgency. Yes, exactly, exactly. And urgent work will come find you, but important work is not going to come find you. You have to go find it.
Yeah.
And I don't have any like specific way in how to stay focused on that, except knowing, okay, what I'm doing today, what I'm doing tomorrow, what are my goals for this month? Is this going to get me one step closer to my important work? Or is this just going to take me one step ahead in my future, you know? And so I think just keeping in mind, like, what is going to get me one step closer to that important work? Am I actually working on it? Sometimes I can say yes. A lot of times I can say no. And I just want to say yes a whole lot more.
Wow. Well, thanks for sharing that. I think that's, I think there's a lot of wisdom in what you just shared. And, you know, it really inspires me to think about those things in my life. You know, what is my important work? What is my, how do I tie what I spend my time on into the purpose that I have here? So thanks for sharing that. I said that was my last question, but I have one more.
There's always one more. It's like there's always that one last shot.
Just one more. No, I just want to know, how can, if there's somebody out there that wants to find out about you and Jeff, how can they find out about you? What do you have going on? Is there anything that you want people to know?
That's great. The best place to connect with us would be on Instagram at The Youngrins.
Okay.
And you'll get to see our travels and everything we're doing. And then if you want to learn more about the ideal client conversation, or if you're interested in coaching, Jeff is a phenomenal coach. He does, it's a brilliant how he can just ask the right questions and the hard questions, but the right ones. And so if you're interested in that, go to theyoungrins.com/photographers and you'll find that information there. We just finished a video course that walks you through the whole process, not just part of it, the whole process of discovering your ideal client. And in that video course, at the end of it, you have a one sentence profile of who your ideal client is.
Wow.
And you use that throughout your entire business. It is awesome.
So
if you're interested in that or interested in coaching, theyoungrins.com/photographers.
Awesome. Well, Erin, thank you so much. Really, this has been such a treat to get to talk to you. So thank you so much.
Thank you. This was so much fun. And
Well, we can't say thank you enough to Erin for coming by Shootproof HQ and sharing with us. We would love your feedback on this podcast, and we'd love to know what you want to hear next. So drop us a line at podcast@shootproof.com and let us know what you think. You can find out more about Shootproof at www.shootproof.com. And we want you to know that we truly believe in community. I know I say that every time, but we do. We truly believe in community, and we love getting to help photographers focus on what matters most. We'll see you guys next time. Music for the Shootproof podcast is provided by Triple Scoop Music.